Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up over the next half hour, the city of Homs under fire. As the church calls for an end to hostilities in Syria, we talk to one expert from the region about the prospects for Christians and for peace. And Christian radio, the Virgin, and the bomb. How one Catholic station in Lebanon defies the odds to continue bringing the church's message of peace and reconciliation to a region in upheaval. On Tuesday, the Syrian city of Homs came under the heaviest shelling yet as security forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad continued their bombardment on that and other cities to quash dissent. The strikes came after Arab states pledged their support for the opposition battling President Assad and called for international peacekeepers to be sent to the country. The UN Human Rights Chief, Navi Pillay, warned this week that the Security Council's failure to take action has emboldened the Syrian government to launch an all-out assault. Hundreds have been reported killed and wounded in the latest violence. Tens of thousands of people, including children, have been arrested, and thousands more are reported missing. In addition, 25,000 people are estimated to have sought refuge in neighboring countries, and more than 70,000 are internally displaced. During his Sunday Angelus, Pope Benedict appealed for an end to the violence and bloodshed and called for a commitment to dialogue, reconciliation, and peace. The Apostolic Nuncio to Syria, Archbishop Mario Zanardi, says especially children are the most innocent victims.
It is something incredible, just awful. Children are under the gun sights in Homs, for example, where they are shooting at anything that moves, even at a child who might be carrying only the grocery shopping. Asked about the possibilities for reopening dialogue, Archbishop Zanardi said it is very, very difficult, and that he believes that the possibility of reopening dialogue becomes more complicated as a matter every day. The nuncio to Syria also told us that the Christian population thus far has been spared the targeted violence that has been perpetrated against minority communities in other Arab nations since the so-called Arab Spring began. Christians, he said, are at the service of Syria. They offer their spirit of dialogue, of reconciliation, and of forgiveness. I'm Chris Altieri.
Well, Lydia O'Kane spoke to Jesuit Father Samir Khalil Samir, professor at Rome's Pontifical Oriental Institute, about the current situation for Christians living in Syria. Father Samir told her the situation for Christians was quiet as long as they didn't interfere with politics.
How significant is the Pope's appeal on Syria?
It's important that all people, Christians, Muslims, the government and the reaction, the opposition, feel that really the church is very concerned with peace and non-violence. It's not concerned because they are Christians, but simply because there is violence and suffering. This is normally the reaction of the Pope always when there is any problem somewhere in the world. So he is really defending human people. And the situation is very dramatic, tragic in Syria since many weeks, and it's time to find absolutely immediately a solution because the situation, the violence is increasing from day to day.
Is the church speaking out enough about what's going on in the country? And do you think this appeal, if not, do you think this appeal will help the church community speak out more?
I think it helps Many bishops in the country have spoken. At the beginning, it wasn't clear. People thought the bishops are for the regime, the government, because they were defending, in a way, the situation, the actual situation. The problem is that now there is violence from both sides, even if the violence from the government is stronger because they have more means. But the revolution, the opposition, had become also react violently because they defend themselves and they received weapons from, they say, usually from Qatar and from the Gulf. And so we have now a blocked situation. Each one is trying to be stronger. That means more weapons, more dead every day. We have to stop it. It must be. The whole world could help, maybe not by a military intervention. This will not solve the situation, but by proposing a solution. And I think it's possible.
I wanted to ask you, what is life like for Christians under the Assad regime? And would they be worse off or better off with the regime change? We've seen the situation in countries like Egypt, where Christians, even after the revolution there, have not really seen their position change. They've seen it actually worsen.
The situation everywhere is that the government in Syria, for instance, well known to be more secular. They tried to have an equality between Muslims and non-Muslims, between Sunnah and Alawit, because themselves the government was a Alawit, which is a minority not bigger than the Christian group. For that reason, the situation of Christians were quiet. As long as they didn't interfere with the politics. And this is what they did until now. They were doing their job, but not interfering with the politics, even if the politics was also non-democratic and violent with the opposition and so on. What will come in is probably an Islamic regime, Islamic system, which is for Christians, it's a danger. It could be, it would probably be less neutral and not so good for Christians. What is happening in, what happened and is happening in Egypt will repeat itself in other countries. We see even in Tunisia, where there are no Christians, the regime, the new regime, is much more Islamic as the previous one who was secular. So that's the reason why Christians are not supporting the government, but they fear the new system. And between two evils, they prefer what they know. That means the Assad regime, knowing that this regime is not good. Now, what's the solution? The solution is to, first of all, to stop violence. We need to stop death and torture and so on for both sides. Now, how is it possible? You have more power from the government side than the opposition. It means we need a mediator. It could be nobody sees a solution, really. But if there is an international pressure to say, okay, stop, disarm from both sides with an international control, not a military control, just a peaceful control to discuss and to come to a solution. there is no good solution now, but they have to see what is possible, whether the government agreed in changing really something, not only promising a change as they did, and whether the opposition will accept this. They are fed up from one side with what is happening since years. From the other side, there is a small group of radical Muslims willing to have an Islamic system as a revenge of what happened since 20 years ago against the Islamic movement. It's a very sensible question.
Father Samir, we've seen attempts by the UN Security Council with a resolution that was vetoed by both China and Russia. The Arab League has called for the United Nations Security Council to create a joint peacekeeping force for Syria and has urged Arab states to sever all diplomatic contact with Assad's regime. Is this a positive development?
It's a positive development, even if Syria will say that the Arab League is no more neutral, that they are against the regime. Now, the Arab League is the best one in this situation. They have no power, but the international community cannot interfere if they don't have a support from the Arab world. They will be immediately accused of being anti-Arabs, anti-Muslims, and so on. But the request coming from the Arab world, with the help of the UNO, could be the only possible solution. Now, this request, as I understood, is not to expel the Assad regime, the government, is to find a quieter solution, to find a solution later. It's difficult to understand humanly why Russia and China are opposing. They are opposing for personal reasons, economical and political reasons. They want to show to Syria, we are with you, so that if the regime comes again, they will be the one who will be aggrieved in Syria and could develop their economical interest or political interest. But this is not the right way to help the population. Not all people in Syria are against the regime, but many, a lot, a big amount of people. And so it has to be taken seriously.
In some sections of the international community, the idea of military intervention similar to a Libyan model for the expulsion of Gaddafi is growing. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's not really an acceptable solution. We are seeing that in Libya, it's not yet a normal regime. And the Islamic movement now, after the military intervention, the European, they went out of Libya, leaving them. So what have we done? I think the experience of Libya shows that people have to solve their problems together, but to do it and to be able to do it, they need a peaceful situation. This is the only thing that the international intervention could do, to try to keep quiet both sides and to say, we are with both, we are for peace. Now, try to find a solution and we help you. I don't think that a military will solve definitively. We will have other people when the military withdraw. We will have then the people, the Syrian people, between themselves fighting each other, I suppose.
Even if President Bashar al-Assad decided to really implement reforms, electoral, political reforms, is his position really untenable at this stage?
Maybe not. But here I see, for instance, the proposal of Turkey. It's also a personal one for personal reasons. But the proposal to say, you can come in Turkey, we protect you, but leave the country. The question is, if he leaves now in this situation, what will come in Syria? There is no other project now than the Muslim Brotherhood, which is, it could be also the less bad solution, the smaller evil. But the situation is so that in any case, it will be bad for a while, at least. Whether the Assad regime remains or a new one comes, we will have trouble for some years. Maybe there is no other situation, but at least we have to stop first violence, because people are dying hundreds daily, and it's impossible. And the violence is now growing. Few days ago, it was in Aleppo, which was very, very unexpected. It touched Damascus, the big cities, I mean, not only Homs, Hama, and so on. I hope that an international, peaceful intervention will come and will stop the violence so that they find a common way. Either that Assad goes up. There is also a danger for the Alawite community, the community of the President Assad. They are trying to find them now from both sides. It's becoming a confessional conflict, which was not the case for long, long years in Syria. It was very neutral.
And thanks there to Jesuit Father Samir Khalil Samir, professor at Rome's Pontifical Oriental Institute. And in our next story, we go to neighboring Lebanon, which has seen its own share of violence and bloodshed. When UNESCO called the very first World Radio Day on February 13th, 2012, I found it difficult to believe that anyone in this age of new media and digital communications would take the time to ponder the weight and importance of radio, one of the earliest forms of global communications. In creating the day, the United Nations Body for Education, Science, and Culture was also hoping to draw attention to what it called the unique value of radio, which remains the medium to reach the widest audience. My thoughts turned to some of the Catholic radio stations reaching wide audiences in areas of conflict or social upheaval. The Middle East came to mind, and particularly Lebanon's Voice of Charity radio, which at times has been completely silenced by conflict.
It was a miracle. It was a miracle.
Director General Father Fadi Tabet says the Voice of Charity miraculously survived a number of bombings and has lived on to tell its tale, providing true Christian witness in a region in upheaval. Founded in 1984 by the Catholic Maronite Order, Lebanon's Voice of Charity has become the leading Christian radio in the Middle East, offering a broad variety of spiritual, liturgical, ecumenical, social, and cultural programs to listeners in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, the Holy Land, and Egypt. With a rising number of foreign workers coming to the region, the radio now broadcasts in Sri Lankan, Filipino, Italian, Ghanaian, Indian, and Ethiopian, besides, of course, Arabic, French, and English. But the Voice of Charity was silenced in 2006 when Israeli warplanes targeted its antennae and those of other media as it waged war against Hezbollah militants in retaliation for attacks from South Lebanon. But Father Fadi will never forget that day in May 2005 when his life and those of 27 others were spared, he says, with Our Lady's help.
As I remember, we were talking about the people who were in jail in Syria and in Israel.
The months following the February 2005 assassination of former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri marked a dark period in Lebanon, with Christian neighborhoods bearing the brunt of a series of bombings. Huge protests eventually led to Syria's troop withdrawal from Lebanon that same year. In Lebanon, many believed Syria or pro-Syrian political figures were behind the attack on the Voice of Charity. The radio had just run a marathon program expressing solidarity with families of prisoners in Syrian jails, demanding freedom and information about those who had disappeared.
We were talking about the people who were in jail in Syria, and we have 24 hours to talk about their families, talk about their mothers and fathers especially. And these people, they talked wonderful things and very strong things against the politician in Lebanon and against the people who have the power in Lebanon.
The next day, a powerful bomb exploded between the Voice of Charity radio station and the Mar Yuanna church in Juni. The radio station was destroyed and the church suffered major damage. 22 people were wounded.
I remember after that I had a mass. After we finished the mass, so we came together to the radio. We were 27 people in the radio.
Father Fadi says he cannot explain why he and 27 other staff members decided to leave the station just 6 minutes after they had re-entered it upon having celebrated mass next door. It was a decision that saved their lives.
We arrived over there at 9:30, and I don't know how we left. Usually we have a meeting all together in my office. I don't know how we left, but I know that we left. We left the radio at 9:36. We had the bomb, and nobody was in the radio. That's why I'm telling you it's a miracle.
The radio has set up a statue of the Virgin Mary with the bomb, by way of thanks.
From that time, if you come to our radio, our new radio, you can see the statue of the Virgin Mary with the bomb. That's why we said that the Virgin Mary, she took the bomb, and that's why she helped us to have a new life and to start again, because we have a lot of work to do.
Previous to the bombing in 2005, the Voice of Charity considered its birthday to fall on the day on which the church celebrates Pentecost.
And we decided to do the birthday of our radio on that day. Usually the birthday of the radio was on the Pentecost, but we decided, because we have a new life after this bomb, we decided to celebrate the birthday of the radio on that day. So every 6th of May, we have the birthdays.
You were making reference there to a period when you were speaking out very strongly, trying to find the people who had disappeared in the many decades of conflict that you had there in Lebanon. You suspected that they were taken forcibly over to Syria, that many people ended up in Syrian jails. Nothing more was heard about them. You yourself were even receiving death threats.
Nothing. We don't know anything. As you know now, the situation in Syria is very dangerous. As you know, that before they were talking about trying to find any prisoners in Syria. But after the war started in Lebanon, I think nobody talks about the Lebanese who are in jail right now.
Father Fadi says the Voice of Charity continues its advocacy work on behalf of Lebanese prisoners in Syrian jails and produces special memorial programs remembering them every May 6th. But the Voice of Charity alone, he stresses, is not enough, and action must be taken on a political level to address the circumstances of these prisoners.
Yes, we're talking always we're having something to say about it, and every 6th of May, it's a memory. It's in memory, if you want, for our radio, and it's a memory for the people, for the families, to come to our radio and to talk about the situation. But as you know, it's not the role of the voice of charity to do this. Okay, we're talking about the situation, but it's the role of the president, of the ministries, of the deputies to talk about that. If we talk, it's not an official voice, you know. We're talking about these people, but we need something very strong, a strong voice to talk about it. But as I'm telling you, the situation now in Syria is very dangerous, as we hear. So that's why nobody talks about this people who are in jail.
In fact, the Lebanese government has been very reluctant to openly condemn Bashar al-Assad's regime. How are you able to cover the current violence there in Syria?
As you know, the politicians in Lebanon, they are divided. As I told you, they are divided in two parts. We have the part who are with the regime and the other part against the regime. But when you talk about the voice of charity, we talk about everybody, and we cover a big part of Syria. We don't talk politics. Our mission is a Christian mission to help our brothers, our Christian brothers who are in Syria. And sometimes we have a lot of people, of Syrian people, of priests who come from Syria. We try to do interviews with them and try to strengthen especially the Christian Syrian people who live in Syria.
So I would imagine that your way of bringing the news across or talking about the social and political issues would differ from some of the secular stations that we're used to seeing and hearing there, also some of the Islamic political groups such as Hezbollah, which also have their own radio and television.
Okay, you know that the Christianity is a long way from the Muslim, and the way how we talk about the politics, it's even we have anything to say in politics, we don't say it like the others, because when you talk about Christianity, when we talk about the Bible, when we talk about the words of Jesus Christ, he tells us to love our enemies and to respect the people who don't love us, if you want. So even we have something to say, we say it following the Bible and following the words of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about us. This is our messages. This is what we do. If something is wrong, we say it's wrong. If something is against the Christianity or against Lebanon, we try to say the words as it is. But in respecting the other people and respecting our role in this country.
Father Fadi Tabet is the Director General of Lebanon's Voice of Charity Radio.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.